The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the March-April 2023 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. We're going to begin on page 8 with Who's Who in Sports. And we're going to start with Lauri Markkanen, Utah Jazz forward. His height is 7 feet. His weight is 240 pounds. He was born May 22, 1997, in his hometown, Vantaa, Finland. In his first season with the Jazz, Markkanen enjoyed a breakout campaign. Through 54 games, he averaged 24.9 points and 8.6 rebounds and made his first All-Star game. On January 5th, he set a career high with 49 points in a win over the Rockets. Did you know Markkanen, who is nicknamed the Finisher, is the second player from Finland to appear in an NBA game? The first was Hanno Matola, who spent 2 seasons with the Hawks. Next, we have Austin Eckler, Los Angeles Chargers running back. His height is 5'10", his weight is 200 pounds. He was born May 17, 1995, in his hometown, Eaton, Colorado. Eckler led the NFL in touchdowns in 2022 for the second year in a row, scoring 18 times, 13 rushing, 5 receiving. He had 915 yards on the ground, including 173 in a win over the Browns and 722 through the air. Eckler ran for more than 1,000 yards in each of his 4 seasons at Western Colorado. But did you know Eckler's 20 TDs in 2021 were the second most in NFL history by an undrafted player? Only Priest Holmes of the Chiefs in 02 and 03 had more. And finally, Brianna Jones, Connecticut Suns center. Her height is 6'3". She was born December 18, 1995, in his hometown, Havre de Grace, Maryland. Following a season in which he averaged 13.8 points per game and helped the Sun to the WNBA Finals, Jones was named Sixth Woman of the Year. In 2021, she was the league's most improved player. Jones played college basketball at Maryland, where she twice led the nation in field goal percentage. But did you know the Sun, who began play as the Orlando Miracle in 1999, are currently one of the 3 WNBA teams not to share a market with an NBA franchise? The Grid, page 11, on warm-up. Mystic guards Kristen Williams, snowboarder Siddhartha Yula, and Chiefs receiver Sky Moore. The question, what's something you'd like to do in 2023? Kristen Williams, I'd like to win a WNBA championship this year. Siddhartha Yula, start college. Chiefs receiver Sky Moore, go to Jamaica. Next question, what movie have you seen the most times? Kristen Williams, I have seen Monsters, Inc. a million times. Snowboarder, Yula, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Chiefs receiver Sky Moore, Rush Hour 2. Next, what's your favorite snack? Mystics guard Kristen Williams, Cheez-Its. Snowboarder Siddhartha Yula, peanut butter and jelly. And Chiefs receiver Sky Moore, Oreos and milk. Next, who is the GOAT or greatest of all time in your sport? According to Mystics guard Kristen Williams, it's Maya Moore. According to Siddhartha Yula, Ayuma Hirano. And according to Chiefs receiver Sky Moore, Tom Brady. Next question, what's your favorite place in the world? Williams, anywhere with the beach and nice weather. Yula, the skate park. Moore, home. And final question, who is your favorite athlete outside your sport? Mystics guard Kristen Williams says Sydney McLaughlin-Levrone. Siddhartha Yula, the snowboarder, says Bruce Lee and Kobe Bryant. And Chiefs receiver Sky Moore says LeBron James. Next we have woulda, coulda, shoulda. How long until it's clear a team botched the draft? We look back at the last five. Best player, Josh Allen. Mayfield wasn't just a regrettable number one pick in an otherwise strong draft. He was the first quarterback taken in a round that includes two potential Hall of Famers at the position, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Top pick regret. Baker Mayfield's Browns career started out pretty well, but went off the rails in year four. It's never a good sign when a team trades three future first-round picks to replace a former first-round pick. Best player not in the first round, Fred Warner. Pre-draft scouting reports knocked his tackling ability, but the 49ers' third-rounder has never had fewer than 118 stops in five NFL seasons. Franchise defined, Buffalo. Scoring Josh Allen would have been enough, but the Bills hit it twice in the first round with two-time Pro Bowler linebacker Tremaine Edmonds. They also identified a future starter at cornerback in the fourth round in Tyron Johnson. Wants a do-over. Arizona. Obviously, the Cardinals took a do-over on Josh Rosen when they drafted Kyler Murray the next year. You can read more about the saga and his issues, hot take, on page 9. But Arizona didn't just whip at QB. Not one of their six picks is still in the Grand Canyon State. Christian Kirk, a bright spot for their class, blossomed last year with the Jaguars. 2019, top pick regret. Last season created a sliver of doubt about Kyler Murray. Best player, Nick Bosa. 43 sacks in 51 games. Best player not in the first round, Max Crosby. Teams chase edge guys in every draft, but the Raiders found a tenacious rusher in round four. Franchise defined, Titans. Tennessee got incredible value on Jeffrey Simmons. And A.J. Brown, see next page. Six-rounder David Long had developed into a starter on defense. Wants a do-over, the Patriots. New England had 10 picks in this draft, but they struggled to find any impact players. The most notable selection was punter Jake Bailey. 2020, top pick, regret. The Bengals landed the possible future GOAT. That means greatest of all time. Best player, Joe Burrow. See the above analysis. Best player not in the first round, Jonathan Taylor. Running backs used to go frequently in the first round. Those days are over. The Colts halfback, however, could have been a top five pick. Franchise defined, Cowboys. Redo the entire 2020 draft, and there are two Cowboys probably going early. Wide receiver CeeDee Lamb and cornerback Trayvon Diggs. Wants a do-over. Commanders. After a stellar rookie year, Chase Young has struggled to stay on the field. If ever a draft should have had back-to-back QBs in the first two picks, it was this one. 2021. Top pick regret. Trevor Lawrence silenced most of the doubters this season when he led the Jags to the playoffs. Best player, Micah Parsons. Lawrence may be a Hoffer in a decade, which means Hall of Famer. Micah Parsons may be there in a couple of years. Best player not in the first round, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Scouts' concerns about the Lions wide receivers seem overblown now. Franchise defined, the Lions. Detroit got St. Brown along with their starting nose tackle, Aleem McNeil, and right tackle, Penei Sewell. The Jags also deserve credit for finding their guys at quarterback and running back. Wants a do-over. The Jets. We've given Zach Wilson enough grief in this magazine. Turn to page 9 if you want to relive it. 2022, top regret. It's too soon to call, but Jags offensive linebacker, outside linebacker Trayvon Walker wasn't Roy. He's more of a project player. Best player, Sauce Gardner. See, Jets fans, it's not all bad. He led the league with 20 passes defended. Best player not in the first round, Brock Purdy, number 262. Kind of a no-brainer given how quickly Mr. Irrelevant made himself, well, relevant. Franchise defined, Jets. They took the AP defensive Gardner and offensive Garrett Wilson, rookies of the year in the span of seven picks. Wants a do-over, the Titans. It's not so much whom they took in the first round, but how. They traded A.J. Brown for the number 18 pick after Brown torched them in Philly. The Titans fires their general manager. Jessica Pegula, Women's Tennis Association Tennis Pro. The 29-year-old is on the verge of her first Grand Slam title thanks to a gritty, cerebral playing style that's reminiscent of the NFL team her parents own. The Buffalo Bills were one of the NFL's best teams in 2022, winning 13 games and often dominating their opponents, but not always. Some of the team's wins were dirty, grinded-out affairs. For one fan in particular, those were the most meaningful victories. The perfect stuff when everything is clicking, great. But I like winning those games when you're playing bad, when maybe it was horrible statistically. But you're like, who cares? They won. Give me those tough conditions and gritty wins. Those are the observations of Jessica Pegula, who speaks from a position of knowledge and experience. Currently the number 4 ranked tennis player in the world, she's coming off a breakthrough World Tennis Association season that saw her win 42 singles matches and an additional 31 doubles matches, the most combined wins of any pro player in 2022, male or female. Generously listed at 5'7", she doesn't have a titanic serve or a splashy signature shot. She would not win a foot race against, say, her frequent doubles partner, Coco Gauff. But Jessica Pegula simply knows how to win, how to grind out victories. She also happens to be the daughter of Terry and Kim Pegula, owners of the Bills. Her dad, an engineer, bought the team in 2014. But growing up, Jessica, known to most as Jessie, was focused on another sport, tennis. Though not a top junior, she had enough success that the family moved to Hilton Head, South Carolina, and then to Florida, partly for her tennis. In her teens, Pegula was overshadowed by contemporary American players like Sloane Stephens and Madison Keys and was recruited by top college programs. Thanks but no thanks, she told them all. She continued to stay the course and try to make it as a pro. She offset her modest arsenal of weapons by playing like the engineer's daughter she is, looking at matches as a series of problems to be solved. Fitting the bill. In the early years of her pro career, Jessie could relate to the fate of their team her parents had purchased. She had been born in 1994, just days after the Bills' last Super Bowl appearance. They have lost the big game 4 times. All 4 times they've appeared, and Buffalo had barely made the playoffs since. She turned pro in 2009 and for years was exiled outside the top 100, trying to work her way up tennis equivalent of a depth chart. There were blowout defeats, losing streaks, and there were wait-till-next-year optimism. Pegula spent most of her time going from one far-flung event to the next. Coming from a family of great financial means, she took pains not to use the family wealth to advance her career, much less flaunt it. Her parents might be billionaire sports team owners, but she was flying coach, staying with the other players at cheap motels by the interstate and trying to economize and stretch her meager prize money as far as it would go. She usually traveled without family members and made her own schedule and plans. We raised all our kids to be independent, Kim Pegula says. Success did not come quickly. Consider. In 2017, Pegula's last events took her to Macon, Georgia, prize money $407, Tyler, Texas, $1,216, Waco, Texas, $709, and Norman, Oklahoma, $126. She finished that year, a season addled by injuries and surgery, ranked 632 in the world. But when she asked herself an existential question, is this really what I want to be doing with my life? It only reinforced her determination and commitment. You're missing out on everything. You're missing out on birthdays and holidays, and you're traveling to these tournaments, Pagula says. But I would take time off a week or two, or I'd go somewhere. I would just always find myself not getting bored, but just being like, I miss playing. As she played, something interesting happened. For all the players who take pains to distance themselves from their colleagues, I was never here to make friends, Maria Sharapova once famously said. Pagula became part of a gravitational center. Her singles ranking is number 4. Her popularity ranking among her peers may even be higher. Her wedding last year drew all manner of players, ringing everything from a style that's short on elegance and long on sweaty persistence and discipline. Pagula began turning her career around in 2019, finally winning more than she lost. Coincidence or not, it was right around the same time the Bills were doing the same. A year ago, Pagula, seeded for the first time, reached the quarterfinals at the Australian Open. She then went on to make the quarters at the French Open and the U.S. Open. And in the first major of 2023, she again made the last 8 in Australia. Pagula squeezes in attending Bills games in person when she can, but she didn't make it to Buffalo once in the 2022 season. When she wasn't touring, she was far more inclined to spend time with her mom, who was suffering from health problems last summer. Jessie had considered taking months entirely off, but realized tennis's therapeutic powers. It ended up being a way to get my mind off things, she says. Not a lot of people can say this, but tennis was de-stressing, so I'm very thankful for that. Picture caption, double threat. In addition to stellar singles play, Pagula has had success with golf, including a win in Qatar in February. We're calling it Best Hitter, Tedderberry. We're not worried, worked up about Bond's alleged steroid use. He was the most proficient player ever at helping his team score runs, but a bunch of intentional walks is kind of boring. We're taking Williams and his .406 average in 1941 over Bond's .609 on base percentage in 2004. Barely. Fenway or Wrigley? Looks like they're going with Fenway. What about you? Ice cream cone or helmet? Yeah, the helmet is cool and you can take it home, but then what do you do with it? Put it on the shelf? It doesn't get a lot of repeat use as a bowl. The beauty of the cone is that it's edible too. The helmet can be eaten only if you're really, really determined. Snap judgment, Marvel or DC Comics? We're a machine. We're a magazine. We love star power. Despite the runaway success of the MCU, DC has always had the bigger stars. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. DC time has come. The Marvel movies are running out of characters and steam. And in the interest of full disclosure, this publication was made by people in their early 30s. We grew up with Batman, the animated series, and the death of Superman. Like any self-respecting 90s kids, though, we do love the X-Men. Snap judgment. Is a hot dog a sandwich? It comes between bread? So, yeah, why not? Who cares? Stay off Twitter. This is the kind of stuff that gets discussed. ROTY. Corbin or Gunnar? Arizona outfielder Corbin Carroll and Baltimore infielder Gunnar Henderson are the top prospects in baseball and the favorites to win Rookie of the Year in their respective leagues. Unless the Diamondbacks and Orioles shock everyone and meet in the World Series, these two players aren't really in competition. It'd be easy to root for them both, but this isn't that kind of issue. We're making judgments here. So, for absolutely no reason other than we can, it's time to pick a fave phenom. High on base percentage and solid third base defense are rare and valuable, but we want to see diving outfield catchers and stolen bases. So we've got the guy with StarCast's highest sprint speed last season, and it is Corbin Carroll. bust mustaches. Is it Raleigh Fingers or Dennis Eckersley? Looks like S.I. Kitch is going with Raleigh Fingers. Changes. Bases bigger. The bases have gotten 3 inches bigger this season, going from a 15-inch square to an 18-inch square. What does that matter? Well, it doesn't make a huge difference, but Major League Baseball hopes it makes for a few positive small changes. Firstly, it gives base runners a head start. Not a big one, but an MLB's bang-bang base-stealing play is a few inches can make all the difference. More importantly, it gives fielders and runners more room between each other to avoid collisions. It also fixes one of the most annoying consequences of replay. It'll be harder for otherwise safe runners to be tagged out when they overslide a base and the fielder keeps the tag on them. Picks off. Base stealers aren't just happy about bigger bases. They're also getting some relief from relentless boring throws over to first. Boo. Now pitchers can only disengage twice per plate appearance. Disengagements include pickoff throws, fake throws, mound conferences, and just stepping off the rubber. The penalty for a third disengagement is a balk. Who benefits? Bigger bases and fewer pickoffs should help base dealers like Oakland's Estuary Ruiz and frustrate pitchers like Zach Gallen, who throw over constantly to control the game. It goes to the hitter, Estuary Ruiz. Shifts limited. Not since steroids has a debate rocketed or rocked baseball like that over the infield shift. Three players on one side of the diamond, a brilliant evolution of defensive tactics or an obviously unintended cheat. Well, debate over. Major League Baseball got rid of it. Kind of. Two players have to stay on each side of the field at all times, which should mean more hits, especially for lefties. Over the line. Infielders can still take away the hit up the middle as long as they're on the side of the diamond. Who benefits? Texas' Corey Seager hit just .245 last year as a constant target of shifts. Meanwhile, Houston's Framber Valdez won't be able to rely on as much on pull-side grounders. Oop, looks like Corey Seager, you're the winner. Pitch clock, intenser. Baseball's charm has a lot to do with its pace. You may disagree. The fact that nothing was time set baseball apart from virtually every other sport. Well, those days are over. Pitchers now have 15 seconds to begin their delivery, or 20 seconds with men on base. This rule was a hit in the minors last year, where it sped up games. And finally, who benefits? The losers of this rule are obvious, the pitchers, especially finicky relievers like Boston's Kenley Jansen or St. Louis's Giovanni Gallegos, who take forever between pitches. These guys, who have been known to take over 30 seconds to get set, could be more easily rattled. The winners? Some hitters, but all fans, especially those of you with bedtimes. Now, a message from Buzz Beamer. Hey, Buzz, Major League Baseball wants to speed up games with things like pitch clocks. I have an idea that will really keep games moving. Let's hear it. Zip lines for the outfielders. What? It will get them into position much faster, and the crowd will love it. Question, Buzz? How do they get high enough for the zip line to work? Is it obvious? Trampolines, another crowd pleaser. Okay, Buzz. End zone. What's the call? Number one, Achilles heel. For reasons known only to the SI Kids Treehouse founders, the winter thaw all draw brawl draw, see page 33, is decided the same way as a draw in the knockout stages of the FIFA World Cup. Penalty kicks. Kip and Whitney each make the first four shots against the other. On his fifth kick, however, Kip shoots the ball over the net, giving Whitney a chance to walk off with the win. Whitney begins to approach the ball normally, before turning around and running backward toward it. With her back facing the goal, she backheels the ball past the flummoxed Kip. He complains that turning around is an illegal feint and her goal shouldn't count. What's the call? Do 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 do. Backheeling a penalty kick is allowed as long as the ball moves forward. Whitney wins the winter thaw all draw brawl draw and buzzes over a hype prize as a slinky. Next, we have Safe Travels. In a basketball game played under WNBA rules, Pittsfield Pirates guard Mary Sue receives the ball at the top of the key. With Watertown Wranglers forward Angela Harris closely guarding her, Sue spins away. She lifts the pivot foot off the ground, then begins to dribble the ball before that foot touches the floor again. Harris immediately argued for a travel, but Sue claims she began dribbling before taking two steps. You're the referee. Did she travel? Do 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 do. Sue travel. The ball has to be out of her hand before the pivot foot comes off the floor, not before it touches the floor again. And finally, time's up. The Canton Cane Toads and the Salem Salamanders are getting used to a pitch clock, just like the one used in Major League Baseball this season. With no runners on base, Cane Toads pitcher Johnny Washington faces Salamanders shortstop Fernando Guerra. The first pitch is a strike, and the 15-second timer begins. Washington and his catcher, however, have trouble agreeing on the next pitch. After finally picking up a slider with 2 seconds left on the clock, Washington comes to the plate, and the ball leaves his hand just after time expires. Guerra argues he didn't get the pitch off in time, and the count should automatically be a 2-0. Is he right? Do, 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 do. Do, do, do. Washington pitch is legal, and he's not charged with the ball. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.